Now back to the College World Series special live from Omaha Baseball Village, powered by MD West One on 1620, The Zone.
Presented by Union Bank and Trust. People don't have your money. Your money has people. Member FDIC. Let's welcome in on the Cooler Vision Hotline, Omaha's leading laser vision correction experts. Check out CooglerVision.com. On the Cooler Vision Hotline, it is Matt Verzal. Verz, welcome to the College World Series.
Hi, buddy. How we doing?
Ravi is here as well, so we're going to double team you.
What's up, Verz?
Yeah, that works. You got to do what you got to do.
Hey, so we were speculating here. You know, there's a lot of pent-up enthusiasm for the College World Series, and we've had a Saturday night and a Sunday night, and here on a Monday morning, you know, people are feeling the weekend. Do you think that we've had more bad decisions in the first 2 days of the College World Series post-pandemic than we have had in a long time?
Oh, without a doubt. Like, Omaha itself is just, like, that's not even out of town, folks. That's just local. Like, the locals have been pent up for so long just waiting for an event. I mean, all due respect to swimming, but I don't know if that turns the needle as much as some other ones do.
So you're saying if the porter potties are rocking, don't come a-knocking?
Oh, yeah. There's pricey stuff at the old mattress factory and saw some stuff I hadn't seen in a while.
We were speculating during the break what, you know, the fall might look like, but or not the fall. It'd be next spring.
Early spring.
Early spring.
There may be a little baby boom here in Omaha.
Early spring. Are you a fan, and you can be honest about this because you're a Cubs fan, a fellow Cubs fan. Are you a fan of college baseball? Like, outside of local teams, do you pay attention to college baseball before we get to the field of 64 or this two-week run?
I do, yeah. It helps some of the people around me are super into it. And so with the value of ESPN Plus, you know, you can watch a lot of games a lot of the times that you probably normally wouldn't see. But with some local kids going to other schools, you know, like going out to A&M or Arkansas or playing there, not as many as before, but, you know, you want to see what the local kid does. That way you can feel bad or feel good. Like, oh, we missed one there. Oh, we didn't miss much. Yeah, I watch it. I like the game. I just like baseball. Like, you give me baseball in any form, except youth travel baseball. But I will watch all other forms.
As the people that are in town for the Slump Buster walk by after that comment.
Well, hey.
You don't see, I think you like, I think you like the baseball, but you just don't like the surroundings of what youth baseball has become.
I would searching for Bobby Fischer youth baseball in a second. No parents, just kids playing and just letting the kids love it. Letting the kids fall in love with the game. Like, they wonder, they ask the question why baseball is dying. It's because that game, like 32-14 West 15th in Grand Island, America, I had an empty lot across the street. Okay? So we would get up, and, you know, I was the runt of the litter, so I had to protect Mrs. Johnson's garage door, make sure that didn't get hit by a pitch that the catcher missed. And that was my first role, right? But then, like, Jeff Roscoe and Jeff Melko and the older boys in the neighborhood, they were short one day. I said, well, you're playing. I said, okay. So I played first at bat, hit a ground rule double over the Nason family's fence, and I was in the game the rest of the time. And I was hooked. But that part of it's gone, right? I mean, I talked to a buddy of mine, and it goes for softball, too. His little daughter played 100 games 2 years in a row of softball. That's not fun. Like,
no,
I don't
pay
anything 100 times.
And you know, it's expensive for parents with the travel teams. I mean, you pay a basketball, it doesn't matter, during the summertime, you pay ask hockey parents, you pay a fair amount of money so that your kid gets that opportunity, and they could play 200 softball games, which is crazy to think about, in about a 4 or 5 month period.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you have to, maybe that's what hurts me the most, is I didn't come from that kind of lifestyle. Like, we by no means struggle, right? But if this was available at the time that I played, my family couldn't have afforded that. Like, they just wouldn't have happened. And then everybody's got fear of missing out or fear of a leg up, and that's what drives a lot of folks into this. When in reality, if you can just take your kid and focus on basic fundamentals, can I hit it? Can I field it? Can I run? Pretty easy game after that. You know, I probably learned more out at my grandma and grandpa's farm. My grandpa gave me a broom handle, and I was like, well, what's this? He goes, well, you got baseball coming up. He said, I have 10 million yards of gravel outside. Pick up the gravel, take the broomstick, hit the gravel with the broomstick. So you're out there for hours just throwing up little chunks of gravel trying to hit it with a broomstick. And your hand-eye coordination gets honed in, and you know, you could hit. My dad was always there to play catch. As soon as he got home from work after a long day, he'd say, hey, I want to play catch. He's like, yeah, let's go. It's like those little things. Like, just doing those simple things made it. It honestly, that's why I love baseball, because you can do things like that. People want to boil it down. Got all this stuff we got to do. No, pick up a rock, broomstick, try to hit it. Good luck. That's the most frustrating thing you'll ever do in your life. But when you hit it, when you make contact, when you make square contact, you start to ricochet those off the barn, you feel like a dude. Like, you feel like Roberto Clemente. You're like, I can hit anything. Throw it at me.
Verz, what would you think is the worst youth sports culture, basketball or baseball? Because they both seem pretty toxic.
Basketball. I mean, what's a good basketball culture?
Okay, are we talking about the coaches or the players? So I've spent a lot of time around AAU basketball the last few years.
Yeah.
There is some good.
And I
good
love, hey,
there
I,
is good. There I, is good in it. There, but the bad stories are the ones that get talked about the most. But there are good stories that come out of AAU basketball.
Yeah. I love people that support basketball. I really do. I love them to death. But for me, outside of a few instances, basketball culture is a tough one. But again, think about you got to think about me, right? Like, I'm forever till the day I die, I will be a catcher / lineman. Okay, I'm there to take punishment from a pitcher who may not have it that day. I'm there to protect guys behind me. I don't ever see that in basketball. It's probably what's drawn me more in later life to hockey. Even though it isn't as goonish as it once was, I like the game where there's a protection. To me, basketball can get very individual at times. And I get it. I understand it. I can watch the game of basketball. I have a great jumper. But it just doesn't trip my trigger. Like I said, love the people that love it because they love it. They want to watch it. They want it to be great. There's great programs around. I'm not saying I'm maybe generalizing a little bit. But I think if I take the sum of all the parts, basketball.
Matt Verzal joining us here from Baseball Village, the College World Series. Let me get your thoughts on this, because about 2 hours ago, the Supreme Court took a bat to the NCAA. 9-0, where they are siding with former college players in a dispute with the NCAA about compensation, which is going to add to the further changing of college athletics, that model. Name, image, likeness is right around the corner, and now the compensation part of this is in play with a Supreme Court ruling. With all of this said and what's on the horizon, what's the reason why the NCAA should exist?
Oh, we could ask that question 100 years ago.
But now, yes, we could. We could. I mean, they've had this model for a while, and now slowly it started to chip away. Today is a big deal. I mean, the Supreme Court went 9-0 on this. Not 5-4, 6. They went 9-0. I mean, they basically threw a touchdown pass up 77-14.
Yeah, for sure. But what value has the NCAA provided in a long time? Right? Like, the NCAA, who sells off their championship? Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but the NCAA does not own the CFP.
No,
that's
not.
True.
Yeah. Like, you're set. Like, that's just bad business. Okay, like, hey, I've got this unbelievably great attended event. People die for it. They want it all the time. Let's sell that baby off. Let's not worry about that. I mean, do they even own? I don't even think they own March Madness. Is that correct?
No, they do own March Madness.
That's their biggest.
Okay.
Yes, that is their biggest revenue stream.
Right. But you have, I mean, Pandora's box now is wide open. Mm-hmm. Because what's to say now that we got a little legalized gambling in the state of Nebraska? Somebody gets to somebody and says, hey, come sponsor this horse tracker, casino, or slot machine.
Well, the amateur.
Welcome to the Matt Virzal Rove slot machine. That'd be great.
I mean, Robbie, you would agree with this because I've heard you talk about it. I mean, the amateurism model, which has slowly been deteriorating and has been exposed, is now kind of, today is a major blow that it just kind of, no such thing as amateurism, what you're trying to present. We're done with that.
Yeah, I mean, they've basically gone and said, hey, NCAA, everything you've been doing is illegal. The way you've been exploiting players is illegal. And, like, listen, there's been some compensation in scholarships and stuff like that, but basically what they've gone to them and said is you can't cap what they're allowed to earn. Yes, you can provide them compensation via scholarship, but you can't say that's all you can earn. And that's a huge deal, and you're right. It basically does blow up their entire model.
Are you really that shocked by it, though, Sharpie?
No, the only part of this that I'm shocked by is it was 9-0.
Oh.
Yeah, I had a sense this was coming, but it's all coming like at the same time with the NCAA asking Congress to help them out with name, image, likeness, and when that rolls out on July 1, is everybody going to be the same? What's the model? You know, is it going to look different from state to state? And now adding this onto it, you know, there's momentum out there for Power 5, Power 6 schools to break away. This is just kind of, you know, what
Which
is the
happen.
Next step? What does this all look like for, you know, the arms race that goes on? It's not going to change. It might elevate it. But what, 5 years, 10 years from now, what does the NCAA look like? Does it exist? And what does the model, who, you know, the teams that are coming here to play the College World Series, how do we determine who's coming here and what do they look like?
The NCAA will monitor, and I mean no offense by this, your sports that aren't football. But the baseball model, I feel, will say the same. And I'm fine with kids getting paid. I'm fine with it. But make it so they can't access it until they're 35. Right? All goes into an index fund. They just, you Warren Buffett it, they get their money. Yeah, you bet. But you're going to be set because we don't know the condition of your body or your mind at that time. Right? Your concussions are still a concern. So, yes, we can go name and image like this. But if you have the vision of you driving a Lambo to school tomorrow, probably not happen. We're going to lock that thing up. You access it at 35, at 25, whatever. Just not right while you're in college. So you're set up financially to gain as you move on in life. Because the game will end. Right? Now, if you want to put another stipulation on it, I think every kid that does have the ability to make money should pass. It may probably not standardized, but a financial literacy exam. Okay? You pass a financial literacy exam. Now you know, we at least feel we've given you the groundwork to be able to manage this money you're going to get at 18. Star, what would you have done with money at 18?
I would have probably.
I didn't have money at 18,
up for another credit card. Hey, I got more money. I can sign up for another credit card. It's going to be. It's some coaches are okay with it. Some coaches are very, very fearful. Verz, as always, we appreciate it. I look forward to your investment in football players at Nebraska and what they're going to do for you.
I'm only endorsing linemen.
That's a great move. Matt Virzal on the Kugler Vision Hotline. Hour one of the books. Mike Schaefer coming up next hour from Baseball Village, the College World Series. There's Robbie. I'm Gary George. Shane back in the studio.